When I was on my 30-day Ignatian retreat, my spiritual director impressed a truth upon me that would forever change how I would view my life. It was a truth that I was aware of, but I've never had it articulated in that way. This truth is called the principle and foundation, and it can be broken into three parts. The first part is, the whole purpose and goal of our life is to praise, reverence, and glorify God. And in doing so, we find our ultimate fulfillment. The second part is, in order to achieve this goal, the means to this goal are the created things of this world. And so we should use or abstain from them insofar as they help us towards this goal. And the third and final part is that the attitude we should have towards these created things is indifference, so that we do not desire wealth more than poverty, health more than sickness, a long life rather than a short life. And so this forced me to ask myself, how is this or that helping me or hindering me from heaven? And how am I choosing to live in a way that brings me closer to Him and gives the greatest glory to God? So even when I'm buying Skittles, I'm like, how is this helping me give glory to God? Or more importantly, how's my vocation and my work giving greater glory to God? St. Paul is trying to do the same thing with the Corinthian community. She's trying to get them to have the same mindset of seeing the ultimate goal and the means to that goal. The community had received extraordinary gifts of speaking in tongues and prophecy, but then divisions and jealousy began to erupt and arise in the community, and people began to say, how come he can speak in tongues? How come I can't prophesy? I feel like a useless part of the community. So these past couple of days, St. Paul is trying to reassure the people that they have an important place in the body of Christ, that every member is needed and is necessary. However, today he's trying to remind them of an important principle and foundation. Love is the goal that we are aiming for, and love is the means by which we get there. He's saying, don't strive for the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy, although these things are good and are beneficial to the community. But the thing is, heaven is not an eternal babbling of indiscernible language or a never-ending game of future-telling. It would be like an NBA team, instead of striving for the Larry O'Brien trophy, they would be striving instead for TV ratings. This is not what NBA players dream of as kids. Like, oh, I dream to have nice ratings on NBC. No, they want to play on the greatest stage and be world champions. And so St. Paul is saying, don't strive for the TV ratings. Don't strive for the flashy gifts. Strive for the main goal we have all been created for, and for the love we have all been yearning for. Eternal union with God in heaven. If I had the eloquence of the angels to preach with great zeal, if I had all faith so as to move mountains, or even to finish that parking lot, if I gave everything away and gave it to St. Peter's Building Fund, if I did all these things without love, I would gain nothing. Although Father Jonathan would be very happy if you paid off our debt. So St. Paul's not discouraging us from doing all these things, but he's inviting us to recheck our intentions and ask, what is the attitude with which I am doing all my works? My charitable works, my work at home, even my work. Am I doing it with love, or am I doing it for myself? Or is it a mixture of both? True love gives value to all things. Love that is not a hyper-sentimentality, but a love that flows from the cross. A self-giving, self-sacrificial love. That gives value to all things, whether we are a leader in our ministry or just taking out the garbage. So St. Therese will say, let us not refuse him the least sacrifice. Everything is so big in religion. To pick up a pin can convert a soul. What a mystery. Ah, it is Jesus alone who can give such a value to our actions. Let us love him with all our strength. Ultimately, every act, every work, and every thought can be an opportunity to do all things with great love, because in doing so, we practice meeting the God who is love in our everyday life, until one day we shall see him face to face. And so I will conclude with a quote from Jean-Pierre de Caussade in the book Abandonment to Divine Providence. There is not a moment in which God does not present himself under the cover of some pain to be endured, of some consolation to be enjoyed, or of some duty to be performed. All that takes place within us, around us, through us, contains and conceals his divine action. If we could lift the veil, if we were attentive and watchful, God would continually reveal himself to us, and we should see his divine action in everything that happened to us and rejoice in it. At each successive occurrence, we should exclaim, "It is the Lord."